Welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Broadcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danita Evangeline White, and I am the second oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III encourages us to keep the soul winner's fire by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Podcast, episode number 179. Pardon me. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. As always, it is so good to be with you today, to encourage you, to challenge you, to exhort you, and yes, to motivate you to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ right where you are, to those who are not believers in Christ before it is eternally too late. In the words of one preacher out in San Diego, California, do something. Pardon me. Do something. If you can't preach and you're not called to preach publicly, witness to somebody personally. If for some reason you can't witness to somebody personally, pass out a gospel tract. If for some reason you cannot pass out a gospel tract, a gospel pamphlet, then pray. If you can't pray for some reason, then give so somebody else can go and witness to the lost and to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Give your last mite. Give the widow's mite. Give whatever you can for the mission work so that others can hear the gospel and be saved. But whatever you do, my dear friend, do something. Even though we will share some instructions on how to witness for the Lord from time to time, we believe that most Christians do not need to learn how to witness for the Lord. They just need to go and do it. So our aim is more motivational than instructional. If you will. Beloved, our soul-winning passage from the Word of God today is Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 and 6, which reads, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Allow me to share with you, if you will, my beloved, some insights regarding this scripture passage from the expository notes of Dr. Thomas Constable, a deep thinker in the Word of God and a gifted teacher of the Word of God. The apostles were to limit their ministry to the Jews at this point living in Galilee. They were not to go north or east into Gentile territory at this point, or south, where the Samaritans predominated. The Samaritans were only partially Jewish by race. They were the descendants of the poorest of the Jews, if you will, whom the Assyrians left in the Promised Land when they took the northern kingdom into captivity. And the Gentiles, whom the Assyrians imported, and so forth. On religion, they only accepted the Pentateuch as authoritative. This is Matthew's only reference to the Samaritans. The apostles were to go specifically to the lost sheep of the house of Israel at this point, a term that described all the Jews. The designation highlights the needy character of the Jews. Jesus sent them to the Jews exclusively to do three things. They would announce the appearance of a Jewish Messiah, announce a Jewish kingdom, and provide signs to Jews who required them as proof of divine authorization. Jesus did not need the additional opposition that would come from Gentiles and Samaritans. He would have to deal with enough of that from the Jews. His kingdom would be a universal one, but at this stage, at this point of his ministry, Jesus wanted to offer it to the Jews first. We have already noted that Jesus had restricted his ministry primarily, but not exclusively, to Jews. He was the king of the Jews, if you will. Beloved, our soul-winning quote today is from Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said, "I would sooner bring one sinner to Jesus Christ than unravel all the mysteries of the divine word, for salvation is the one thing we are to live for." And he is right. Our soul-winning devotional is part 44 of our series titled The Master Plan of Salvation, or The Master Plan of Evangelism. The Master Plan of Evangelism by Dr. Robert Coleman. Delegation, briefing instructions. Before letting them go, however, Jesus gave them some briefing instructions regarding their mission. What he said to them on this occasion is very important to this study because, in a sense, he outlined for them explicitly what he had been teaching implicitly all the time. He first reaffirmed his purpose for their lives. They were to go and preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Nothing was new in this commission, but it did serve to further clarify their task. However, their new instructions did emphasize more the immediacy of their task with the announcement that the kingdom was at hand. It also spelled out more completely the scope of their authority by telling them not only to heal, but to cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, and raise the dead. But Jesus did not leave it at this. He went on to tell them who to see first. "Go not into any way of the Gentiles, and enter not into any city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." It was as though Jesus was telling his disciples to go where they would find the most susceptible audience to hear their message. This is the way that Jesus proceeded in his ministry. Although, as time went on, he did not confine himself to it. since kinsmen were those most like them in cultural and religious background, it is only natural that they start with them. Interestingly enough, a few months later, when the 70 are sent out, this parting injunction was not repeated, perhaps indicating it was time then to go beyond these natural ties in pressing the claims of Christ. As to their support, they were to trust God to supply their needs. They were, allow me to repeat that, for some of you need to hear this. As to their support, that is their financial, material support, you know, the thing that most of us are concerned about, they were to trust God to supply their needs. Now, allow me to interject something and to share something with you that the Lord is laying on my heart, which is so important today. A preacher of the gospel must be free of all entanglements. A preacher of the gospel must be divinely supported and taken care of so that he can say exactly what God wants him to say. And by the way, please remember now, it's not only prophetic, I'm not only talking about prophetic talk here about rebuking people and for their sins and so forth. I'm here to tell you, you must, and I know you don't like to hear it and you don't want to hear it, but it is true. Jesus himself is offensive to this sin-cursed, ungodly, satanically driven world. He is offensive. And if you preach Jesus Christ, you're going to get into trouble. That's all there is to it. That's number one. So you don't have to preach anything controversial. All you have to do is preach Christ, and you're going to be controversial enough for this sin-cursed, ungodly world. So you need divine support. You need to depend upon the Lord for your financial support. And I will venture to say that you'll be better off staying, in some cases, avoiding tax exemption. In some cases, you'll be better off not taking money from family members or church denominations, because they will try to control you if you let them. So be very careful who you let support you. Don't let people hinder you from preaching the gospel and preaching God's word. Anyway, as to their support, once again, they were to trust God to supply their needs. They were told to render their services freely, remembering how they had also freely received from their Lord. Consequently, Jesus instructed them not to burden themselves unnecessarily with a lot of excess baggage and provisions, as they were faithful to God. He would see to it that they were supplied their needs. The laborer is worthy of his reward, his food and his clothing and so forth. So, beloved, in our next episode, if the Lord should tarry his coming and we live, we will look at delegation, follow his method. Let's pray. Holy Father God, make each and every one of us who name the name of Christ Holy Ghost filled witnesses for you. And have mercy, I pray, in your grace, and forgive us of our sins of not focusing on you and not obeying you. Wash and cleanse our souls and spirits and hearts and minds in the precious blood of Christ. Make us to be whiter than snow. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray and forsake. Amen. Until next time, my beloved, keep the soul winner's fire. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I lovingly encourage you to get to know him today. May I lovingly encourage you to be saved today. Allow me to show you how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, disobedience. And we die spiritually because of sin if we don't trust Christ as Savior and go to a place called hell to suffer the consequences forever. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, dear friend, this is bad news. I agree. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, keep the soul winner's fire. God bless you.